November is a beautiful month. The leaves are changing color. The weather is much cooler. High school football is in playoff season. And Thanksgiving is coming at the end of the month. The harvest is celebrated by a meal on the fourth Thursday of the month so that we can remember how much the pilgrims suffered when trying to grow the first harvest of the new land. With the help of the American Indians who were already living here, they had plenty of food to eat, so they chose to give thanks for the blessings of a new friendship and for the food. Today, we still have the meal, and hopefully, we still have that attitude of gratitude known as thankfulness. Along with the holiday at the end of the month, there are decorations to help set the mood. For some families, the decorations include a fragrance that comes from a mixed batch known as potpourri. Potpourri is a mixture of different items such as leaves, sticks, fruit peelings, other stuff combined in order to create a pleasant smell throughout the house. Well, this is the inspiration for our new sermon series. We have three separate sermons that are connected, and yet the topics stand by themselves. Together, they make up a spiritual potpourri that we can use to set the mood as we get closer to the season of Advent. We begin today with the sermon titled, Rejoice Always. Although the sermon is based on one verse, there is a secondary passage that we are going to use as we journey through today's topic. So first of all, let's go ahead and take care of that one verse. Here it is. You ready for it? 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Here it goes. Rejoice always. All right. There's that verse. Okay, now that we got that out of the way, let's look up today's passage. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 4. Our Bible today is Philippians 4, 4 through 7. That's page 982 in the Pew Bible, if you want to look it up that way. Now, in this letter to the church in Philippi, the Apostle Paul is encouraging the people to relax and trust in the Lord. This message was important because Paul was sitting in prison at this time that he was writing it. It would have been easy for the church to fall apart because of the persecution, but Paul was not going to let that happen. Instead, he tells them to press on toward the goal of winning souls for Christ. Just after he tells them to press on, he calls out two important women in the church who were fighting with each other. He tells the leaders to help them find a way to work together so that they would not hurt the unity of the church. Paul knew that in order for the church to survive, they would need everybody to work together and accomplish the goal of fulfilling the Great Commission. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Today, we still need to hear the same message, because unless we work together at being the church God created us to be, we're not going to survive. And in order to work together, we must have the right attitude towards life. And that is what Paul is talking about in today's text. We need to stop worrying, because God really is in charge. So let's take a look. Philippians chapter 4. Verses 4 through 7. Verse 4 says, Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for this wonderful message written by the Apostle Paul, that as long as we keep our minds focused on what's most important, our relationship with you, that you are there to help us make it through the rest of the stuff that's going on in our lives. I pray that you'll be with us through today's sermon today. All of us pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Wow, so I couldn't resist doing that. So let's talk about this rejoicing part. Rejoice always. Why should we rejoice? Well, because it's a natural thing to do. When learning about prayer in the doctrine book by Denver Sizemore, we learned that people began calling upon the Lord without a command to pray. The Lord didn't say, you must call upon me. They just naturally did it. It was natural for them to pray, so no command was necessary. We have all been created with this desire to talk to the Creator. We have also been created with the desire to praise Him for our lives. It is natural to rejoice because that is what we have been created to do. It is natural, but the struggles of life make it hard because we have so much stuff that we worry about. That is why we need to rejoice in the Lord and let Him help us through life. We should rejoice in the Lord because it is important. Have you ever tried to convince a child that eating Brussels sprouts is fun? It's not an easy thing to do because most people would rather step on a nail than to eat Brussels sprouts. Well, if you're trying to convince a child that it is fun to eat them, you might not be too convincing if you have a frown on your face as you're tasting those Brussels sprouts. It is like taking the first bite of baby food to show the baby that it's a good thing to do. If you don't smile while you're taking that bite, the baby's not going to be convinced, and you will be stuck with a bad taste in your mouth and a baby who's still crying for food. It is important to rejoice in the Lord because the people around us need to learn how to rejoice in the Lord. If we want them to see how much better our lives are with God, we have to make sure they can see that. We have to be careful about how we react when life throws a curveball at us. We have to be careful about how we behave when we are in a bad mood. We also have to make sure we don't get up on the wrong side of the bed because people are watching us. And if we show them a bad attitude, they're going to think that all Christians are that way. Now, that's not a fair thing, but it is reality. That's just the way it is. We must rejoice in the Lord always because it will help us be a better witness for the Lord. How convincing can we be that salvation is a great thing if we're not having a smile on our face? We need to remember that rejoicing is good medicine. How many times have you seen a happy person's health decline? It doesn't happen that often because that person is too happy to allow something like bad health to get in the way. What about a person who frowns all the time? Isn't it interesting how unhappy people have a tendency to get sick a little more than happy people do? I know that this is a big generalization. There's exceptions to everything. But if you think about it, those who are smiling have less to worry about than those who are frowning. You may have heard the phrase, laughter is the best medicine. In many cases, it is true. When you allow anxiety to set in, you frown. Your frown could become an upset stomach. It could be nausea from worry. Even depression could result from that frown if you allow those negative thoughts to control your mind. That is why we need to remember to smile, not let that set in. After all, Christians have the most to look forward to, right? I mean, it's a little sad that we have to remind Christians to smile whenever they should be smiling because, I mean, we're going to make it to heaven, right? We are blessed to have the Holy Spirit living within us. I mean, we are blessed that we are God's children. I mean, we have a lot of stuff to smile about. The Lord is blessing us. And yet, so many people have a hard time smiling because they forget to rejoice in the Lord. We need to rejoice in the Lord. Also, we need to make sure that we avoid being anxious. Let's take a look at verses 5 and 6 again. Verse 5 says, "Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Paul is telling us, don't be anxious. So why should we not be anxious? Well, because, simply put, it's not logical to be anxious. We have been told that God is our Heavenly Father. He is going to take care of our needs. We have been told that death is not the final chapter in our lives because heaven is waiting on the other side. We have been told that God loves us and we are part of His family. Knowing all of this, why do we still insist on being anxious about life? Why do we still insist on worrying when God is in control? It does not make sense to be getting all worked up when God has already told us to relax and let Him take control. Being anxious is illogical when you think about that. We should not be anxious because the Lord is at hand. That's what Paul says. This phrase could be a reference to the second coming of Christ, but it could also mean that the Lord is right here waiting on us to let him lead. I think it really could be both. Don't be anxious about this life because we know that the Lord is coming back to take us home. That would be the second coming reference. Don't be anxious about this life because we have the Holy Spirit right here within us to help us live. That works too. I believe that this phrase works both ways because those are two very good reasons to stop worrying. Because we're not alone. God is right here with us. We should stop worrying because God is ready to listen. Did you notice that Paul is telling us to pray about our lives? There is power in prayer because the powerful one is listening. There is power in prayer because the powerful one is listening. There's power in prayer because the Lord loves to listen to his children. There is power in prayer because we are letting go of our problems and letting God do what he does best. God is ready to listen as long as we're willing to talk. So when are we going to talk to him? When? In many ways, God has spoken to us through the Bible. Remember what I usually say is that prayer is our way of talking to God. The Bible is God's way of talking to us. Well, he's already been talking to us. So when are we going to talk to him? While he is reassuring his people, he was also allowing his words to be written down so that we could be encouraged too. And we read some of these passages as our daily scriptures this past week. In Proverbs chapter 16, it's an excellent passage reminding us that although we make our plans, God is the one who establishes our steps. We would be fools to take a step without God leading the way. Let's let God lead it. After all, he knows where we need to go. Isaiah 26 is another great passage reminding us that God will give us peace if we would just submit to his authority. If only we would just submit, God can give us peace. Now, as we move through the sermon here, getting towards the final point, I'd like to take a moment to say something about my own life. I don't know if you guys have noticed or not, but more often than not, I'm usually smiling, kind of joking around during times when I probably shouldn't be. I've been accused of having permagrin sometimes, a smile on my face when really I probably should be worrying about stuff. Well, you know, sometimes I frustrate people because of that. You know, I'm not going to sit there and get all upset during those moments when life seems to be falling apart because I know the one who's holding it together. And that's something I had to come to terms with throughout the years when I've experienced a failed marriage, a custody battle for 4 years, and a lot of hardships along the way. A lot of my own stubbornness getting in the way until I finally submitted to God and then I had peace. I had to learn that the hard way. But eventually I came to terms with that. Now I can have a smile on my face because I know that everything's going to work out. And how do I know this? Well, because I'm trusting God. Now, that doesn't mean I have everything perfect. There's still some times when I do get worked up and get worried, and I just have to remind myself. And that's why this Bible is right here, to help me remember. So let's take a look at this. And, for lack of a better way to title this, I call this Earl's Secret for Not Worrying, just to kind of put this through here. Let's take a look at verse 7 here. Philippians 4, verse 7. It says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Passes all understanding. In other words, there's a peace that God gives us that really doesn't make sense. But it's there. It's hard to explain. But there's this quietness of your soul when you know that God is in control. So what is this secret here? Well, the first thing we have to do is we have to accept the fact that we're not in control. We've got to accept that. Have you ever noticed how a garage has a waiting room so that you can have a place to sit while a mechanic works on your car. This is because the mechanic doesn't need you standing over him while he's working on your car, just worrying about everything that he's doing. He has been trained to work on your car, and he knows what is wrong with your car, so you have to go into the waiting room and just relax and let him do what you're paying him to do. Lord knows we're paying him enough. So, if you're constantly worrying about the car while it is getting repaired, you're kind of wasting your time and energy. Because the mechanic, he knows what he's doing. He's going to get the car fixed. Just don't worry about it. Sometimes we need to sit back and let God work on our lives. He knows what's wrong with us. He's certainly capable of repairing the damage. It does not do any good for us to keep worrying while he's busy working on our lives. This is why I love the phrase, if there's nothing you can do, then do nothing. We need to embrace the fact that we are not in control of our lives and let God take care of it. Let him handle it. But you know what? We also need to recognize that we really are in control. If you think about it, more often than not, we are capable of handling our own problems if we just take the time to evaluate what part of our lives we can control. Instead of worrying about what we cannot help, we need to focus on what we can do while we're waiting for the Lord to take care of the rest. What is it can you do while waiting? What can you do during this time? And a lot of times the Lord kind of answers your prayers while you're working. Sometimes the Lord just goes ahead and takes care of it while you're busy. So yes, we're not in control. We're letting God take control of everything. But there are some parts of our life where we can control. There's another saying out there that says, 10% of the issues that you have in your life involve what other people do to you. 90% involves how you react to that 10%. In other words, a lot of times the way we react to people is what's causing the issue, not really the issue itself. So we have to learn, can we control our reaction to things? Yes, we can. Can we control our attitude while we're in the midst of all these trials? Yes, we can. Can we control our faith? Yeah, we can. We can have faith in God. We can choose to have faith in God rather than choosing to focus on the negative. We have to realize that there are some things we can control, and those are the things we need to focus on. And while we're waiting for the Lord, we need to train our minds to think about these things. What things are we talking about? Well, let's scoot down to verses 8 and 9 here. Philippians chapter 4, we'll throw in verses 8 and 9. The Apostle Paul says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." So we need to make sure that we train our minds to think about what is good. Our thoughts can either help us overcome worry, or it can make us anxious about what's happening in our lives. Our thoughts can either be our greatest friend or our greatest enemy. The way we think, the way we focus on life can cause a lot of problems, or it can help us overcome them. Now, if we train our minds to think about the good parts in our life, we'll be able to see that our struggles are not as big as they appear to be. Now, that almost sounds like the power of positive thinking, but I'm not talking about that. It's actually the power of prayerfully considering the good that God has done in your life. Because I'm not saying deny the reality. Accept the reality, and also accept the fact that the reality needs God's help. And pray for God to help. We can focus on the good as long as we ask God to help us do it. We need to learn about God and how he cares for us, and our lives will be at peace. Because that peace comes from knowing that our Heavenly Father is here. I remember growing up, and I was a little bit younger than Will and Michaela, and know, there were three boys and a girl, and we were all pretty close in age, so our house was pretty hectic, pretty much most of the time. Well, my dad, he was working for Southern Bell, which now I think is AT&T, so eventually it became AT&T. But anyway, he'd be out there working, and we'd be playing around either in the yard, riding bikes or whatever, or playing in the house, and just doing whatever we can do to keep my mom crazy. But anyway, you know, we'd just be going about our business, and we see that Southern Bell van pull into the driveway. We'd drop what we'd do and just run straight to that van. We knew Daddy was home. Daddy's home! Daddy's home! We knew it. And we were fighting with each other, trying to see who's going to be the first one to give him a hug. We'd let him come into the house eventually, and then he would go and sit down on the couch, and he'd sit, you know, with the left arm on the arm of the couch, and he had this right side that was empty. So all three, you know, all four of us really were fighting who's going to get to sit next to Daddy. That place right there was the safest place in our house, because we knew Daddy had it all under control. The right side of our Heavenly Father is the safest place we can be. That's where Jesus is. We can overcome anything this world throws at us as long as we stay on His side. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus."